You know, there's just a wonderful spirit in our church, and we are seeing God move in a lot of ways. It's always good to see people being saved, joining the church. Now, last week, I forgot to call up our new church members, so we're going to do that. If y'all remind me, we will. Why don't y'all just come on up, you know, at the invitation, so that'll serve my memory. You get to this age, and certain things are just... Y'all know that with gray hair, don't you? But I'm just excited. Last April, we began to pray for renewal in our church, and we are seeing God's answer to our prayers. God is really doing a marvelous work. I'm going to encourage you, don't stop praying. Keep praying for our church, praying for our future. Keep praying for our pastor search committee. And the other thing I want you to encourage you to do, don't stop loving one another. It's just a beautiful spirit in the church body when church members love one another. So let's keep that up. We're going to go back to our text from last week, Philippians chapter 2. There's just some more things that I needed to say about that passage. At some point in your education, you were probably made to read Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. And you discovered in Acts 2 that famous quote, "What is in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet." Juliet spoke those words as she talked to herself on her balcony, ignorant of the fact that the stalker Romeo was right down in there listening to every word she had to say. And she was pondering the fact that she belonged to the Capulet family and he belonged to the Montagues. And this accident of birth hindered them from getting married. Falling in love was one thing, but getting married was out of the question. And she's asking the question, what difference does a name make? Romeo was still her true love. Now, if you asked a biblical character that same question, what is in a name, they would say everything. Everything. Our names are very important. Names might record something that was special, significant about their birth. It could have been at some life-changing experience, just like Jacob was renamed Israel after a night of wrestling with God. Simon was renamed Peter, meaning the rock, when he met Jesus Christ. Even the persecutor Saul was renamed after his salvation to Paul. A person's name is very important. Proverbs chapter 22 says, "A good name is rather to be had than great riches." We should live our lives in such a way that we would not be ashamed of our name. You know, some people just have that kind of reputation in the neighborhood, in our city. We should live in such a way that the very mention of our name brings good thoughts to the people that hear it, not bad thoughts. The reason that a name is so important is because your name represents who the person is. It stands for their life, their actions. It stands for their beliefs. So when we speak someone's name, our mind immediately goes to an image of that person. Like this, when I say the name Abraham Lincoln, first thing that comes to your mind probably is that picture of him that we all had in our school. Remember that one that we had? It was unfinished, just like the George Washington one. But the second thing that comes to your mind would be his character, the character of that person. And thirdly, what you know about that person, such as knowing him as Honest Abe or knowing him as President Lincoln. But when you hear the name, any name, you think of the person, and that identifies the person. The name identifies the person. That is why this message today is so important, because we're going to talk about the greatest name in all of the world, the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We read it last week, but I'm going to read it for our hearing today because it is so important. It says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says that God has highly exalted the name of Jesus above all others. It means that he has elevated the name of Jesus. He has raised it to the highest position. There is none above Jesus. You know that the Bible gives over 800 different names? And each of those names are sharing a little aspect of his glory. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. We know him in the Bible as the bread of life, the living water. He is the door. He's the vine. He's our great high priest. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Lamb of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. He is the Almighty. He is our Advocate. He is our Lord. He's given the name Suffering Servant because he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. He is Lord. He is Creator. He is Sustainer. He is all of these things and so many more. And it is this Jesus that has been exalted by God above all others. And I'm here to bring you a message today to tell you that there is power in the name of Jesus. And we need to discover that power. Believe me, we're just going to scratch the surface this morning. I want you to dig into the Word of God. I want you to find that power this week. I want you to meditate upon that so that that power can be brought into your life. These are important, so it's in your bulletin, the outline, but I think you should write this in your Bible, maybe on the back of your Bible, these things that make that tell us the power of the name of Jesus. I'm going to start with, there is saving power in the name of Jesus. In fact, there is no other name whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation under any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no one else that is worthy to die as a sin substitute. You see, the sin substitute had to be perfect, had to be holy, had to be sinless, had to be God. The one who went to the cross to die for mankind had to be absolutely perfect. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he was the just dying for the unjust. He became our substitute because he was holy God. He became the Lamb of God as he went to the cross. The Lamb was always sacrificed for the atonement of the people's sins. And Jesus was once for all the final sacrifice, the only one that anybody would ever need. And in John 14, 6, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he tells us this, no man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus never claimed to be at one way to heaven. He didn't even claim to be the best way to heaven. He is the only way. A name can make all the difference in the world. A young man was on the battlefield and he was mortally wounded. And as he lay there, one of his fellow soldiers came and took his head and put it in his lap, gave him some water out of his canteen and just ministered to him as he lay there dying. That dying soldier asked for a piece of paper and a pen. He said, I'd like to write a note to my father and I'm going to ask you to take it to him. And the boy wrote the letter out to his father. And then at the end, he wrote, Dear Father, the bearer of this note made my last moments easier. He helped me to die. Receive him. Help him for Charlie's sake. When the war ended, that soldier went and searched for the father and found him. At first, the father refused to even let him come into the house. As he was about to shut the door, he says, "But I have a note for you from Charlie." That changed everything. That man read that note with tears coming down his eyes. He came upon that last part, "For Charlie's sake, receive this man." And everything instantly changed. He threw his arms around this soldier. He drew him close to his heart, and then he put everything that money could buy at his disposal. Got him on his feet. You see, it was the name that made a difference. Do it for Charlie's sake. Beloved, in that same way, we stand on redemptive ground because God, for Christ's sake, delivers us, saves us, makes us his child. One day I'm going to stand before God. If he were to ask me, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" My answer, my only answer can be, Jesus went to the cross for me. I am here because he saved me. Jesus Christ is my Savior. If he asked me, "Is that your only answer? Is that your only hope?" My answer is yes. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Through his name, and only through his name, can I be saved. It's only through his name that I can be certain that I have a home in heaven forever. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that there is power in the name of Jesus to have access to God. Through Jesus' name, we can come before a holy God. You see, in the Old Testament, nobody would dare do that. They would come to the priest, they would come to the tabernacle, they would come to the temple, but they would never go before God. They were afraid of that. But in Jesus, the veil has been torn. We are able to have access now to the Father. There is no other way to come to the Father. Jesus said, "Whosoever asks in my name, that will I do." John 15:16, he said, "Whosoever will ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Now, when we say that we pray in Jesus' name, we end our prayer that way, don't we? "In Jesus' name I pray, amen." We're saying, I'm praying accordance to the word of God and to the will of God. So I'm not giving you a carte blanche this morning that you can go to God and say, "I want a pink Cadillac and I want it tricked out. I want all the bells and whistles and I want it by Monday, if you don't mind." That's not in Jesus' name. Now, you might want to pray for a car, pray for good transportation. That's a good thing. But it's in Jesus' name. "According to your, not my will be done, Lord, your will be done." Upon what basis do you approach the throne of God? "Well, because I'm so self-important." "Well, because I have so much to offer God." That's not what our Bible teaches us. These verses tell us that the only means whereby we can come before a holy, omnipotent, eternal God is through the name and through the authority of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us, if we do come in his name, in his will, in the authority of his name, God will hear us every time. Let me ask you a question today. Suppose you have a lot of bills. You can't pay, your bank account is empty, and the bills just keep coming in, and you go to the mailbox and you have an envelope. Inside is a check. A check that is enough to pay all of your bills, even some extra. In that envelope, there is, and by the way, young people, that is mail that we put. You ask your parents, they'll tell you what I mean. In there is a note that says, "This is not a loan. This is a gift you never have to repay." Now, let me ask you something. Would you be excited about that? Man, it's enough money to pay off the house, pay off the car, pay all the bills. You'd be excited, would you? Hold on to that excitement. Because you need to know, first of all, who wrote the check. Do they have enough resources to cover the check? Now, if at the bottom of that check you see the name Bill Brzezinski signed, you better wait till that check clears before you get excited. He may have insufficient funds. There are people today that say there are many ways to heaven. They say there's many ways that you can get to God. There are even some that say everyone will eventually lead you to heaven. The next time someone says, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. It doesn't matter what name you pray to, as long as you believe it in your heart. It doesn't matter what belief that you may have when you pray, you can tell them, you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what name you use. It doesn't matter what God you pray to, unless you expect that prayer to get answered. Just like that check, you can get excited about it, but you better wait for it to clear. Beloved, you can pray in anybody's name, but don't expect an answer. But when you pray in Jesus' name, the Father hears your prayer. We are granted access. We are encouraged to come to Him, to pour our heart out to Him. All other gods, they are powerless. Some have ears, the Bible says, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have arms, but they cannot help. God's word says that there is only one name that God will honor. There is only one name that will bring us into a company with God. One name is worthy. That is the name of our holy God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be forgiven of our sins in the name of Jesus. We can have access to God in the name of Jesus. And finally, this morning, we can have power over Satan in the name of Jesus. There are so many today struggling with sin and with habits. They have troubles and problems, and they feel like they can't do anything about it. So people will come to them and say, you need to work on it. You need to buckle down. You need to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Or they have some other cliche that you can think of. And all of those things sound noble. But I'm going to tell you, there's only victory in the name of Jesus. The word of God says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, Jesus said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. And he tells us to go in that name. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. It is in Christ that we have the victory. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, when Jesus had sent the 70 disciples out to minister, they returned rejoicing, the Bible says, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Our text says his name is highly exalted. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that the people who are on the earth in the great tribulation overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. What all these verses are trying to tell us is that there is power in the name of Jesus. If you know Jesus, if he's in your heart, if you're living for him, the name of Jesus is powerful to you. I was telling a lady about a service we had in our first church. It was a night service, and the deacons were giving testimonies, and I was sitting up in the front of the church, and about 10 minutes into the service, a man comes into the church, and everybody could feel this man. There was evil, something about him. I just kept praying in the name of Jesus, asking God to bind him. That man came all the way up front of the church and sat right next to me. Never said a word. I'm praying that God would just, you know, protect us, bind us. And he sat there, and as that deacon was finishing, that man turned to me. He said, preacher, you're lucky. Got up and walked out. Had no idea what he come there to do, to say. But when that door shut, 75 people jumped about 4 inches off the pew. This was the power of Jesus' name. He has the power to bind. Do you know that all these verses that we've been talking about teach us that we have the name of Jesus that we can call upon and he can protect us? I love that song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, because it talks about how in the name of Jesus, the chains that bind us are taken off. When we rightly use the name, Satan will flee. The Bible says, you draw near unto God, and God will draw near to you. And then the next verse says, Satan will flee. It's through Christ that we are more than conquerors. I don't know what problems you're facing today. I don't know what's going on in your life, what your needs may be, what your enemies may look like that you're facing. But I do know that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus. May I share just a minute of what has been done in the name of Jesus? According to the Word of God, every manner of disease was instantly healed. The dead were raised. Jesus walked out onto the water and defied gravity, even had Peter come and walk on water. Have you ever tried it? Don't work. They woke him up. They said, Lord, there's a storm going. Don't you care that we perish? And he said, peace, be still. And the waves instantly. You know, that's such a miracle. You've been out on a boat before during a storm maybe. And even on a lake, it's about 20 minutes after the storm that the waves die down a little bit. Not with Jesus. When he says, peace, be still, it comes instantly. It comes permanently. Oh, how he wants to say peace to you in your life today. The power of Jesus feeds 5,000 men, plus women and children. And not only are they fed with just a few loaves and fishes, but there's 12 baskets of food left over. At the name of Jesus, no one person was ever turned away. No social order was rejected. No one in all the world did not receive his love, all in the name of Jesus. And beloved, you need to hear this again today, because I want you to understand that the same Jesus that we read about in the scripture is the Jesus that you serve, that you worship. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same power is available to you. The power to take away your sin, to deliver you from that habit that you might have, to resolve your problem. Right after I got out of the military, I had a bad habit. Tried to break it before, but boy, I couldn't. I smoked them cigarettes. And I know you ain't smoking them cigarettes. Baby, they smoking you. But I couldn't quit. And one day, God said, you don't need them anymore. I tried it on my own. It doesn't work. You know, I've never needed another cigarette. Didn't even remember what they felt like in my hand. I had other people who I bummed cigarettes off of, went on smoke breaks with, never had remembrance that I smoked with them. See, that's the power that Jesus has. I pray that you take the time this week to go through the pages of the Bible. Just see all the glorious things that the Lord has done. Recount all that the apostles were able to do in Jesus' name. See what power is available to you. Maybe you're listening today and you want to know how to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It's very easy. It's easy for us because God is the one who made it easy. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. Because we were all sinners, every one of us. There's none that could live on their own righteousness, their own religion, their own anything. We all needed to come to Jesus. If you can today admit that I'm a sinner, I've done wrong things, I've done bad things, you can be saved. Here's the other thing you need to understand. Because you're a sinner, you need a Savior. You need only one person to save you. His name is Jesus. It's not going to happen when you call upon any other name. But if you'll call upon the name of Jesus, who is holy God, who lived among men, lived a perfect life, laid his life on the cross, and on the third day was raised from the dead, if you will call upon that name, you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do that here today before we go home. You can have your entire eternity turned around. And I pray that you would. Maybe you're here today as a born-again Christian. And you have some struggles in your life. You have some problems that are going on. I want you to know that the power of God is available to you if you would just turn to him. Turning means to repent. You've been doing it on your own long enough. It's time for you to give it over to God. Come to him in Jesus' name. Ask him to deliver you from whatever it is that has you chained. And those chains will be released. You will be set free. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you today, where are you? Are you saved? If you're not, the remedy, the only remedy, the only name that you can call upon is the name of Jesus. And you can do that right now. In your heart of hearts, just call upon him. Say, dear Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And I trust you, Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Christian friend, you've known the Lord a long time, but you have some bad habits. He's the only one that can set you free. No matter how physically, mentally strong you are, only Jesus can set you free. Would you just, right now today, repent of that sin that you have been living in for so long? Ask him to set you free. Heavenly Father, as we close this service, I pray that you would minister to these, your people. Pray that the one that prayed that prayer today would just come this morning and make their public profession of faith. Let everybody know so that we can rejoice. I know heaven is already rejoicing if just one has come to saving grace. So bless this invitation this day. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our invitation, I'm inviting you to come. Maybe you prayed that prayer with me, or maybe sometime earlier this week or month or year, you have made that decision, but you want to make it public. I want to encourage you to come this morning. If you are needing prayer, someone to pray with you, or you just want to come and pray, the altar is open. And if you're here and God is leading you to join First Baptist Church, I want to encourage you to make that your decision. Just come. I'll be here to receive you. As we stand together and as we sing, you come on this first stanza.